Have you ever wondered, like, when you apply for a loan, how do banks actually decide who's going to pay them back? Who's likely, to default?
Right.
Turns out it's not as simple as just like looking at your credit score.
Yeah.
Researchers are using this cool new approach, it's called network science, to predict loan defaults. And honestly, some of their findings are pretty amazing. They're basically finding that by looking at the connections between borrowers, like think about it, who they live near, who gave them the loan in the first place, they can actually predict defaults more accurately than using those like traditional methods.
It's true.
So we are gonna like really deep dive into an actual research paper today that shows exactly how powerful this whole network science approach can be. But before we like jump into the really complicated stuff, let's break down like why this whole network idea is such a big deal in the first place.
Okay, so imagine like the old way of doing things, assessing credit risk. They basically treat every single borrower like an island. But that's not really how the world works, right? Borrowers are not isolated. They're part of these really complex networks. And those connections, they matter.
Absolutely. That's where this whole idea of default correlation comes in, right?
Okay.
Borrowers, they don't exist in a vacuum. The actions of one borrower can actually like ripple through an entire network and increase the risk for everyone else in that
Oh,
network.
that's so interesting. It reminds me of, I don't know if I've ever told you this, but I used to live in this really, really small town. And the main employer in the town was this furniture factory, and it shut down.
Oh no. And it was like all of a sudden everyone was struggling because they all worked at the same place.
Exactly. And think about it, like, what if everyone in that town got their mortgage from the same local bank? And then boom, that town gets hit with an economic downturn. That bank is going to be in a lot worse shape than if those borrowers were like, scattered all over the country.
That makes sense.
Right. Their risk wasn't just about their own like individual finances. It was also about their position in that network of borrowers.
Wow. So how did these researchers actually like capture that interconnectedness? It's like, it's a wonderful life, but with algorithms.
Right. They're using this really interesting tool. It's called dynamic multi-layer networks to map out the relationships between all the different borrowers.
Dynamic and multi-layer. Okay, those are some big words.
They are.
Can you break those down for us a little?
Sure. Think of it basically like a map of borrowers, but it's constantly changing. Dynamic means that those networks are changing over time,
Makes sense, yeah.
which, reflects the real world, right? People move, they change jobs, their financial situation, like, evolves. Multi-layer means that they're not just looking at one type of connection between borrowers. They're looking at like all these different types of connections at the same time. So it's not just that they're connected, it's how they're connected by location, by lender.
Interesting.
And then also how those connections, evolve and change.
Okay, so they're not just looking at individual borrowers, they're looking at this whole web of relationships.
Yeah, you got it. That's a great way to put it. And to make this even more interesting, in this specific research paper, they actually used real data from Freddie Mac.
For Freddie Mac, like the big mortgage people.
Exactly.
Okay.
The major US mortgage financier. They used their data to like build and test all their models.
Wow.
Yeah, and they focused on two main types of connections.
Okay.
Borrowers in the same geographic area, so like that small town example that we were just talking about. And then borrowers who use the same mortgage lender.
So they're basically saying, show me where you live and who gave you that loan, and I might be able to tell you something about like your risk of defaulting on that loan.
Essentially, yeah. And this is a big deal because traditional credit scoring models, they miss all that.
They don't look at that at all.
No, they don't. They often miss these like really critical connections, and as a result, they might totally misjudge the actual risk.
Okay, so they've got this like fancy network mapped out, but how do they actually use it to predict defaults?
So they incorporate something, we call it an attention mechanism.
Attention mechanism.
Yeah, I know, it's a little bit of a jargony term, but basically it's like, imagine like a spotlight. And that spotlight is shining brighter on certain periods of a borrower's financial history.
Ooh, I like that. A spotlight. Okay, so they're not just like treating all the data equally. They're saying some moments are more telling than others.
Yes, exactly. Right, like if you missed a payment 6 months ago, but you've been perfect, completely flawless ever since, is that one little miss as important as someone who's like been steadily missing payments every month?
Yeah, totally. Totally. So are they basically saying like recent stuff matters more?
Yeah, exactly. That's a great way to think about it. More weight to the recent stuff. This attention mechanism is like really, really good at figuring out which timestamps really matter.
Oh, cool.
It's like saying to the computer, to the algorithm, like, hey, pay really close attention to what this borrower did, the past 3 months. That's a way stronger signal than what happened like a year ago.
So it's almost like adding context, right? Instead of just looking at like a list of good and bad, it's like, okay, well, maybe they messed up a while ago, but the further back you go in their financial history, the dimmer that light gets. It's still there. But the model knows to really focus on like the present.
Exactly. That is such a good way to put it. It's like a dimmer switch on that spotlight. And that's what makes this approach so powerful, that context.
This is so fascinating. I'm really curious to understand, like, how does this work in the real world? Like, how do they actually use this attention mechanism? What does that look like?
So in this paper, they have this really great example using a borrower's payment history, just like their payment history over 6 months.
Okay.
And they're tracking those payments, month by month. And the model learns from those changes. Like if someone was consistently late, even if they weren't missing payments,
Gotcha.
or if they like suddenly started missing payments altogether.
6 months, that seems so specific.
Yeah.
Is there any reason why they chose 6 months?
That's a great question. It's kind of like they had to find that sweet spot. You need enough data to really see the trend, but not so much data that you're just drowning in it. So they probably experimented with all different lengths of time. But for some reason, that 6 month window just it gave them the clearest signal.
Like Goldilocks, with the porridge, 6 months was just right.
Exactly. You got it. And it allowed their model to really hone in on those risky changes in payment behavior, which are really strong indicators of, potential default.
Okay, this is all incredibly cool, but let's back up for a second. Like, so what does this actually mean for the average person listening to this right now? What's like the big takeaway here?
Right, that's the million-dollar question, right? All this fancy research, so what? Well, I think this type of modeling could really change things. It has some really important implications. For one, it could lead to more accurate loan decisions, right? Imagine, like, lenders actually have a much clearer picture of risk thanks to this network-based approach.
Yeah, instead of just like judging a book by its cover, they're actually getting the whole story.
Exactly. And that could mean that people who might have been unfairly denied loans in the past because they didn't put that traditional mold, they might actually get a fair shot.
Okay, I like where this is going. More accurate loans, that sounds great, but what else?
Well, if lenders can like identify the lowest risk borrowers more accurately, it could lead to like lower interest rates for those borrowers
Oh, interesting.
because, the lender's own risk assessment has improved.
Now you're speaking my language. Lower interest rates, always a good thing. Okay, so this is sounding pretty good. This whole network analysis thing. Loans are more accurate, potentially even cheaper. Are there any downsides?
Well, I mean, there's always the potential with any new technology,
Sure,
it could
yeah.
be used in ways we didn't intend.
Right.
But on the flip side, this kind of modeling could also help us understand the whole system better. Like the financial system as a whole.
Okay.
Remember that small town
But
example?
yeah, the domino effect.
Exactly. Like by understanding how all these connections influence defaults, we can maybe start to anticipate these things and even like mitigate those risks in the future. And that benefits everyone,
That's
right?
a really great point. It's not just about individual borrowers, it's about like the health of the whole system. Okay, this is a fantastic point. But before we go too far down that road, I kind of want to like recap everything we've learned about this, like new way of predicting loan defaults, just so our listeners are totally clear on what we've covered so far. Okay, so we covered a ton of ground here today, from like the limits of those like old school credit scores to this whole new world of like network science,
Been a
right?
lot. Yeah, and then that whole attention mechanism idea that honestly still kind of blows my mind. But let's do like a super quick recap just to make sure everyone listening is walking away like really understanding the key takeaways here.
Sounds good.
Okay. So we started by talking about how loan defaults, they're not just random, right? They're influenced by this whole web of connections between different borrowers, whether it's like living in the same area or having the same mortgage lender.
All those relationships, they actually make a difference.
They really do.
It's like those researchers realized that like traditional credit scores were missing this like huge piece of the puzzle. They were way too focused on like individual behavior.
Yeah.
And not enough on like the bigger picture.
The interconnectedness of it all.
Exactly.
And you know what's really amazing to me is that just by analyzing those connections along with a borrower's payment history, like over time,
yeah,
they could actually do a better job at predicting defaults than those old credit scoring models.
It's like they've given lenders this whole new superpower, this new way to look at risk.
Totally.
More holistic, you know.
Absolutely.
More nuanced.
Yeah, and don't forget, like, this approach, it has the potential to make the system fairer for borrowers, which is huge.
Totally.
But also, like, more stable for literally everyone.
Yeah.
By finding those, like, systemic risks early on.
Right, right, exactly.
Everyone wins.
Okay, so last but not least, you know, I always like to leave our listeners with a little something to, like, think about, right? Some food for thought.
I like it.
So this research, it focused on location and lender as those, like, key connections. But what else could be out there? What other connections between borrowers, like, might we be missing?
Oh, that's such a good question.
What other factors might be out there influencing someone's likelihood of defaulting that we haven't even, like, considered?
Well, I mean, think about social connections.
Okay, yeah.
What if, like, all your friends are struggling financially? You know, could that be a sign that you might be more likely to face similar challenges down the road?
Oh, that's really interesting. So our social circles could actually be, like, predictive of financial risk.
Possibly.
Wow.
Or even, like, employment networks.
Oh, yeah.
People who work in the same industry or even at the same company,
mm-hmm.
they're often exposed to a lot of the same economic forces.
That's true. Yeah.
So there's definitely a connection there.
And what about shared financial behaviors? Like, what if you and a ton of other people, you all invested in the same stock?
Right.
And then it, like, totally tanked.
Yeah.
Could that be, like, a red flag?
Exactly. All of those things.
Wow.
Those are just a few examples.
Yeah.
But I think it just goes to show, like, the more we understand how interconnected we all really are, the better equipped we'll all be to make, like, smarter decisions, both individually, but also, like, as a society.
That's a great point. This has been, honestly, such an incredible deep dive.
It really has.
Network science, attention mechanisms. I never thought predicting loan defaults could be this fascinating. It's like we've gotten a glimpse into, like, the future of finance.
No way.
It's pretty exciting stuff. And on that note, we'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.